God's will, because I know, since the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me, I have it good here on earth. And I know after I pass through that door of death, which I'll talk about later, I'm going to have a perfect life. It's going to be even greater than I can imagine. The lost folks, the good they experience in this world here and now, or bad, but the good is all they'll ever have if they pass through that door of death without being born again. Because after they pass through that door of death, there's not going to be any more good for them. And I praise God for His Word and for His Son. But this morning I'd like to come to you. I want to talk about something that I've never really just taken it for granted, but I've read it. I've read it. It's a small chapter, and I've read it. And I've read it a lot. And it's never meant to me what it's meant to me to hear lately. I happened to run across something, was studying, and heard this, and it became that boom revelation. So y'all be patient with Brother Monty, because y'all probably already got this. But now I got it, and I got to tell you about it. But the title this morning, if I had to call it anything, I'll call it Psalms 23. The first verse I want to put up, though, Brother Travis, is that Proverbs 18:21. I thank God for the things that I've learned in this church. Yeah. Even though I was raised in church and I learned a lot, most of it was head knowledge. My dad tried his best to make sure it got in my heart, but I let the world take over after a while. But I've learned here how to get that into my spirit and how to get that into my life. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. This is the Amplified Version. I wanted to put that up there because we have been taught that, and it's truth. It came out of God's Word. I've never seen it more true in my life. And as we read today what the Lord gave me, I don't think I'm going to get done, because I give Brother Travis a whole page of extra scripture to go with this chapter in Psalms 23. But after I got the revelation the Lord gave me and I got to reading this, I had to share it. I had to share it with Brother Scotty. I told April some about it. I told some other people about it, Christian. And it just blesses me. But we'll start. Before we do start, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Father, to be here at this place. Lord, to be, Father God, in your will, and to experience your love and your mercy and your justice and your faithfulness. I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to exalt your name and lift up the name of Jesus. Help me, Father, to be your vessel and speak with clarity the things you have put in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now as we start, I'm going to start with I think I'm going to read the whole chapter first. You don't have to put it up there, Travis. I just want to read the whole chapter, then I'm going to go back through Psalms 23. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. And most of us probably know it by memory. I know I did pretty much. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I tell you what. I think of where I've been in my life and the things that I've done and not give God, knowing better. And I'm not proud of that. I knew much better. But I didn't do it. But praise God, April 20th, 2014, my life got turned around. And whenever I got this revelation on this little chapter right here, to me, all of God's Word is good because it says it is. All Scripture is good for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. But praise God, I read this, and whenever the revelation came to me, it's for me. And now I'm going to start with the verses. And we're going to go slow at this. And I'm probably not going to get done today, and I'll start it back up when I get back up here next time. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Praise God. That's our relationship. It's not just printed words on a piece of paper. That's life. Travis, you put up the John 10:11, please. And I know we've heard most all these scriptures I'm going to have. We've heard and heard them. And I thank God for them. I'm going to keep hearing them in here and in here. Jesus is talking here and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What did Jesus do? He gave his life for us. Man, I know, you know, my revelation don't move everybody like the Lord's moved it in me. But thinking where my life was headed and all that I had to do was just harden my heart some more and not listen to the Holy Spirit and not accept the invitation to come to this church the first time and then harden my heart some more after I heard a good message here and not come back that night and give my heart to the Lord and harden my heart some more, and then my wife and my family wouldn't have got born again. All I had to do. That's all I had to do. And you think, well, it's not, you know, like I chose to do it, but I did. But I had come to a point in my life where I wanted something that I couldn't find. And you're going to find it whenever you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Because when he's your shepherd, like I was talking about a while ago, that's something to bank on. That's a solid rock to live on, to work on in this world and the world after. And I praise God for it. Chapter 10, verses 14 through 16, please. Jesus is talking again a little further down. He said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so knoweth I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What have we been hearing for weeks now? Man, I look back at the word that we've been hearing from Sister Teresa and Brother Scotty. Thank y'all for being obedient. I know it has to be the obedience in their heart to bring what the Holy Spirit and the Father wants for the will of our lives. God has given us through being redeemed something that we didn't have before. When we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, those few words is a broad statement. I'm going to tell you what it means for me, which we're going to go on to the next part. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, which is our relationship. I shall not want. Translation Amplified says, I shall not lack. Praise God. I've seen God work more in my life in the last 10 years, and it's not anything credited to me, but it's credited to His Word and His promise to us. And because I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I can now receive, I shall not lack. Now, there's been times I thought that I didn't have what I needed, and there's been times I didn't have what I wanted, but praise God, I can't actually say that now. Well, sure, these are some other things I could want. I could want this. I could want everything, but a lot of that's just my flesh and my wants. What my spirit and my heart wants, God gives me that. And he says so in the Philippians chapter 4, please. In my study Bible, I got a lot of cross-reference study notes. For this one particular part of this verse, I shall not want, I shall not lack. This only scripture in my study Bible that cross-referenced it. But my God, who is your God? The Lord is my shepherd. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How do we get to the in glory part? By Christ Jesus. I remember saying a few years ago, I don't remember if it's where we live now or another place, but I was doing something, I was working around outside, and every time I go somewhere or do something, I would trip over something. And I found myself complaining. I said, "Dadgum, why can't I walk without tripping over something?" And the Holy Spirit says, "Because I give it to you." So then I turned around and said, "Lord, thank you for giving me stuff to trip over. I didn't have that before. I praise God for it." Not only does he supply our needs according to his riches and glory, what is his riches? Everything. I heard Jesse Duplantis one time somebody asked him, said, "How much are you worth? How much do you know financially do you have access to?" And he said, "Come here." And he took him outside and he said, "Look up at that sky." And he said, "It was a beautiful sunshiny day. It wasn't a cloud in the sky." And the guy's looking around. He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see the sky." He said, "That's what I'm worth through our Father. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack." Now, granted, you do have to believe. You do have to have faith. You do have to be obedient. We do. But when we do what God's Word leads us to do, we have all of this. It's a promise. All of these scriptures are promises. Every single one of them. And it blesses me to no end. Now, I look through a lot of, my Bible only give me this one verse, but I've got like 1,500. I'm going to give you some examples. Travis, you don't have to put these up here, because by this time, if the people in this congregation do not know these verses, you need to go and read them. Because I've heard every one of them. I know what most of them say. I started to call on people this morning and say, "Brother Johnny, what's John 10:10? But I'm not going to put people on the spot. I don't want to do that. What is John 10:10? Okay, Brother Travis, let's put that one up there. I'm going to start with this. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. We know who the thief is. He's our enemy, our adversary, the devil, the one that wants to rob us and take away everything that God has in store for us, that Jesus died for, and lie to us and tell us it's not there. You ain't going to see it. You ain't going to get it. And try to make it, you know, transcend and manifest in this world before our eyes and our thinking, to where we won't believe it and it'll weaken our faith. But Jesus said, "I came that they," who is they? His sheep, that's us, "may have life," I'm sorry, "may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." I use this translation. The King James Version says that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant in itself means running over, more than enough. So what's more abundantly? Praise God. Just because I don't have every little whim my little fleshly mind wants does not mean that I don't have what God wants me to have. As Brother Scott has taught us and Sister Teresa teaches us, God has a plan for our life and he's got it all ready for us. All we've got to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. Holy Spirit, sir, lead me in the will and the path of the Father." And Sister Teresa, I want to thank you. My prayer every day now when I wake up is, "Lord, help me to do today. Holy Spirit, help me to do the will of the Father today. That's all I want. That's all I want in life. And the second thing is to see my lost loved ones that I don't know for a fact they have Jesus, to see them born again, because I've lost several that I'm not sure about. Now, I've got about six scriptures here. I'm going to pick one out. We know what Proverbs 10:22 says, right? I'm going to tell you. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. If you look up the word sorrow, it's not good. So if I was to translate the word sorrow, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, excuse me, and addeth no bad things, no sickness, no disease, no lack. God's blessing only brings good. What do we have to do to get it? You go back to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Excuse me. Now, I wrote down about four or five others. I'm not going to ask you to put these up here, Travis. It's not going to be enough time for all of it. We have Jeremiah 29:11. That tells us that the Lord has got all of these things in store for us even before we were born. And in my case, and most in a lot of other people's case, He has them in store for me despite what I do. I started when I was 6 years old going to church. My daddy started taking me to church. He got born again. He became an evangelist and a preacher. He became the youth director. He did everything that a called preacher probably can do except be a pastor. And I was there to see all of it. I was right in the middle of it. I went to churches, man. We went all over the Southeast to different churches when he preached. I went to camp meetings where there was nothing but praising and preaching and praying and fasting going on for a week solid. I went to all kinds of these things. And I enjoyed them when I was a kid because I was running around playing with other preachers' kids. And then things took a turn, and by the time I was a teenager, we weren't in church anymore. Now, when I got of age of my own consent, why didn't I go back and start doing the things that I was taught when I was younger? Because the Word says, train them up in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. Because I did not say, I did not practice or actively saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I left all of that out of my life. And my life was a total wreck from the time I was 19 years old, never how old I was in 2014. I ain't going to do any math. I'm not real quick at it. Long time. When I was 19, that'd be 79. And then till 2014, my life was a wreck. By the time I was 19, I was married the first time, had a child. Didn't have nobody in church, not even me. I was on drugs. I was drinking. I had no direction. I was doing nothing good with my life except working. It's good that a man works. Before I was 21, all of that was gone, and I was headed to prison. Because, number one, my dad was trying to train me up at the time when I was younger. Pick who you run with, because if you pick bad friends, you're going to end up in bad trouble, and that's what I did. Then after all that got over with, I did the prison thing. Lord, help me, get me out of this. You know, I want to revert back to that training. And it was all up here. And I said it out of here, but whenever I got out of it, I didn't do what I said I would do. My life was like this. I mean, just like this. I'm not going to go into a lot of details. From then till 2014, it was just, man, it was nuts. But my point is, whenever in 2014, I said, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. I want to turn away from the things I did and what I was doing. I want to experience these scriptures that I see and the way of life that I seen when I was growing up. I want to have that. And I did what it says in Romans 10:9. If thou shalt call upon the name of Jesus, thou shalt be saved. I said, Jesus, I want that. Ever since then, has life been perfect? No. But it's been peaceful. My life ain't doing this no more. It's on this one level highway, and stuff are going shoom, 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 like that. because I'm staying on that highway. And I thank God for it. And I know that the prayers of my fellow Christians have helped me. And I thank y'all for that. But when you say I shall not want, we're not just talking about material things. That is in there. That's not talking also about financial things. That's like Brother Scott said, that's kind of around the bottom. Because God knows what we need. We're made in His image. When it says, I shall not want, that means I shall not have to put up with torment. I shall not have to put up with sickness nor disease. In other words, I shall not lack because I'm going to have everything I need to give me everything that God wants me to have. And all I have to do is believe and look to the Lord and say, Lord, You are my shepherd. And then we have this one I'd like to put up there, Travis. Psalms 34:10. How many times have we seen that verse? How many times have we heard it? Man, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that verse in this church by my pastor, I wouldn't have to work for a week. No, I'm not putting him down. I'm not complaining. He did that for a reason. He did that because now I have a revelation in here, and this is mine. The young lions lack food and suffer hunger. That's a, for lack of a better illustration right now, people that don't have the Lord. But they who do what? Who seek and inquire the Lord by the right of their need and on the authority of His word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. Now, God knows what I need. In Deuteronomy 28, He says, hearkening to my voice and my word, and all of these things shall come upon you. We've heard that. I'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Blessed in everything I do. I can't remember all of them. I've read it. But praise God, now, when I got this revelation, I used to have, whenever I would read it, I'd say, Lord, that's me, Lord, that's me, Lord, that's me. And I'm not saying it didn't mean anything, but it wasn't revelation. Now it's revelation. Now when I read it, I have something in here that is like, for lack of a better term, it's like a slow explosion. But man, it's so good. And I love it. And I know it's the Holy Spirit. And God's Word is connecting with my spirit. And I'm connecting with the Lord. As Jesus said when He prayed in John chapter 17, He was praying for His disciples, and not only those, but those who believe by their words, that they be as one with Him as He is one with the Lord. Praise God. When you get with one with the Lord, what's that song we sing? I don't listen to words all the time. I'm concentrating on the music. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hallelujah. There is no place I would rather be. Oh, I better move on. The next part says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's our rest. Now, in the context of a shepherd and the sheep and the fold, has anybody ever laid down in, let's say, like the gravel on the driveway out here? Not this driveway. Did you ever lay down in gravel? It didn't feel so good, did it? You go to a field that's got some really nice grass in it, and it's up about knee high, and you lay down in it, it's almost like a carpet, or like a mattress. Well, it's translated in Hebrew, green pastures of tender grass. That's an illustration of a very good, restful place. So restful that you just, you know, you don't want to do anything else but just rest. And not the kind of rest of where your body's weary, but the kind of rest that you can lay back and, oh, thank You, Lord. This don't bother me today, Lord, because You are my shepherd. This is not going to move me today, Lord, because You are my shepherd. And I'm going to serve You, Lord, because You are my shepherd. and this is my reward. And God will give his people rest. He will give you the kind of peace and joy that you can never, ever find in this world. I'm telling you, I ain't done everything out there in this world, but I've done a lot of stuff. Some of it was okay, some of it was real bad. But as far as making yourself feel good and stuff, man, I've done a lot of stuff. Nothing compares to the joy of the Lord. Nothing compares to the peace that Jesus brings whenever you open up your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart and lead me. I want to live for you. I want to be one with the Father. Nothing in this world can compare to that. We have people, celebrities and leaders all over this world that have an inexhaustible amount of money. They could have anything in the world they want, and there's a lot of them pretty much do it. They buy and buy and buy, and some of them buy until they ain't got no more money. And you might think, man, if I had $1 million, I wouldn't spend all that. If you don't have the Lord, there's a good chance you could do that. Because the flesh says, give me, give me, give me, Sister Teresa says. And if you don't check it out, check it up, you're going to be give me, give me until you be telling somebody else, give me, give me. That's just the way this world is. Because it's full of sin and the dominion and the power of sin. But praise God, whenever you're born again, all of that stuff is nothing. You might still want stuff, but it's not going to own you. Not unless you let it. I have seen born-again Christians that have let stuff own them before like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I've come kind of close a few times, and I realized this is, and April used to tell me all the time I'd let stuff upset me. I wasn't really wanting something. I let stuff upset me and steal my joy. April, get on to me. It's money, honey. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it steal your joy. And I know she's praying for me. And I'm a lot better now because I guess I'm going to ask you, Anna, because I don't get my joy. I don't, man, when I lose my joy, I'm not fun to be around. I'm dadgum people. Why do you have to do that for? I told everybody, my boss, boy, praise the Lord for it. He'd do things. I'm going to give you one example. He sent me to a place I do not like to work at. I drive a truck. I don't like to deliver there. I helped him out for 4 months. It cost me a lot money-wise. And here not a week or two ago, we got a new dispatcher. He called me up and sent me. I didn't cuss him out, but I didn't have no nice words for him. I said, I don't want to go. So I'm griping it to April. And then my boss calls me. And I'm griping to him. And he said, whenever you're, you know, not here for whatever reason, he said, I don't call and gripe at you. That's the number one thing got me. I couldn't say much about that. And I said, well, this is a little bit different. He said, Monty. Now, I'm not bragging on me because I wasn't doing anything I was supposed to be doing. But that's the last time it happened, and it's not going to happen anymore. He said, the reason I need you to go is because I don't care if you don't like it, if you hate it, if you don't like me. When I put you on a job, you'll do the job and you'll do it right, and I can trust you. Guess what Monty said? Okay, Charlie, I'll see you later. I got, what the world call it, I got owned, so to speak. I got shot down. The Holy Spirit used, I don't know, I think he's a Christian. He don't really do anything that's not Christian-like, but he's not, you know, he'll agree with me and I talk Christian stuff to him, but he don't manifest it all the time. But anyway, he used somebody that, you know, that I'm not familiar with being a Christian to put me where I need to be. So what happened about one day last week, dispatcher says, I need you to go to that place and load a load and unload it there, because that's what I don't like to do, because I'm not even going to go into it. It's a pain. It costs me 2 or 3 hours of time that I don't get paid for. Because I get paid if I drop it there or I unload it there. You know what I said? He sent me a text. I sent him a thumbs up. Okay, I'm going. I don't need the Holy Spirit to get on me again. And yeah, it did. It cost me, when I worked 3 or 4 months, it cost me a bunch of money. But praise God, I don't live for money. My point is, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm in a place now to where I'm in that green grass. And I say, oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And like Brother Scotty says, some people say, don't say that. But I'm going to say it. I don't care what comes at me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world and anything that's in this world. Whatever he throws at me, my God's got something to shoot it down. As long as the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to use one scripture here. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. And then I'm going to move on. I was right. I'm not going to get nowhere near where I thought I was going to get. 11, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I was telling Travis this morning, I give him that big old paper of scriptures, and they bless their heart. Whenever I come around, I praise God for them, because they could probably get upset at me. They just sit back there and type in scriptures for 15 minutes before church starts. And I don't mean actually to be that way. When I go to studying, I go to reading, and I go to, well, what's this? And I read, oh, that's good. Yes, sir, Lord. And the next thing I know, I got a whole, I'm not kidding, it's a whole notebook page full of scriptures, just scriptures. It says, Jesus says, it's coming to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The labor and heavy laden means when you let stuff get to you, you ain't supposed to get to you. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What's Romans 12, 2 say? That's right. Jesus said, learn of me, take my yoke. In other words, you get rid of this labor and heavy laden, take my yoke, this is nothing, because I'm going to take that. And what you're going to have is peace. And he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he's what? You shall find rest unto what? Your souls. Now, I didn't go into deep to that word souls, but I know he's talking to us about our spirit. But if you add the word soul as we use it in context, not only our spirit, but our mind, will, and emotions. And why is that important? Well, if we're getting our spirit and our heart right with the Lord, and then we get our mind, will, and emotions right with the Lord, we can drag the flesh over kicking and screaming and smacking and say, shut up, sit down, and enjoy this. This is the yoke of the Lord. And he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I'm going to ask you, anybody in their right mind, if you're carrying something heavy and somebody comes up, let's say you're carrying a concrete block, and somebody comes up and feathers to swap with me. I mean, if they're serious and you don't think it's going to be anything bad, you're going to swap with them. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're laden down, if you're loaded down with stuff and luggage and stuff that's hurting you, it's causing you problems, especially us born again folks, let it go. Take on my burden. Cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you. That's scripture. Because his burden is light. Excuse me. We'll go to on to verse number 3. I'm sorry. He said, he leads me beside still waters. That's our refreshment. You can tie that in with the first part where he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. When we take on, like I was talking about, this yoke that Jesus gives us that is light and easy, refreshment comes easy. Now, the reason we need refreshment, where do we live? In a world that does not honor God. This planet, the air, the principalities, who's in power? Satan. Demons. The lost are empowered by these people. They will give in to the lots of them. To what's been thrown at them. Born again Christians, I'm going to use myself. I've been as guilty as anybody. I need refreshment. So how do you get that? We're standing in the middle of the very first best place to get it. If you get thirsty, where do you go? You go to get you a drink. If you get hungry, where do you go? You go to the supply to get you something to eat. Might be McDonald's, might be the kitchen, who knows, as far as your flesh. But for your soul and your spirit, there's only one place. The Word of God and the assembly thereof, as the manner of some is. Why is the manner of some is? Because the manner of some is realizes by the teaching of the Word and the apostles in the Word and the Lord Jesus Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we come and we get this, we get refreshed. And you could also, because he's using water, the parable, where Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. He said, I will give you water that, you know, you shall never thirst again. No, we won't thirst again, but there's been times we need refreshment. Even the best Christian needs refreshment. And Lord knows I'm as weak as some of them out there, maybe a lot more than others. I need refreshment. What does that mean? I need to be reminded that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. And if I will stand my life on those principles, I'll have green pastures to lay down in. I'll have refreshment to restore myself. That particular phrase of words, I'll get that word out in a minute, translated in Hebrew means waters of quietness. There's a common thing, and I've seen it before and all of you have, you get to a place where there's a large body of water, not the ocean, but a lake. Sometimes it'll have to be great big, but it's real so still it looks like a mirror. You ever been to a place like that? How does it make you feel? Yes. Can you imagine how our hearts feel whenever we get refreshed and we're beside quiet waters of His Word and His love? Praise God. I know I need it. And when you do that, when you're in that reality, sitting in front of that real water and stuff, do you think about being afraid? Do you think about an alligator or a shark or something other coming up, a bear and grabbing you or anything like that? Usually not, because we have no fear. You know why we have no fear? Colossians chapter 2, I don't remember the exact verse, because Jesus put them to shame openly with His death and burial and resurrection. He conquered the keys. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. What does that mean for a Christian? Now, I could talk about 6 hours on this, but I'm not going to. I don't have time, Brother Scotty, get me. I got about 6 minutes. For a born-again person, if you're born again and being afraid of dying and going into that grave for any reason, you need to get on your knees and talk to the Lord, because you got a problem. I'm not trying to be mean, because for years I was scared to death of dying, mostly because I knew that something probably wasn't right, because, you know, I'd been taught that you're supposed to live for the Lord, you're supposed to be born again. If you're not born again, like I said a while ago, the only goodness you're going to have in life is what you experience here on earth. And after the door of death and the grave, you're going to a place where you'll never see another good thing in your life for eternity. Forever. You will know it, you will feel it, you will experience it. Well, part of me believed that because I was taught that. And I stayed in a lot of fear. A born-again Christian has no fear of death. All death is a doorway from this sinful world into the paradise world, waiting till God fixes this world for us to where we live in perfect peace and harmony for Him as He intended in the first place. The grave is just a place where the body goes. It's just simple as that. I've heard people say before, man, I don't want no grass on my grave. It'd smother me. Oh, come on. Or I don't want no rocks on my grave. It feels like it's crushing me. I've heard people say that. Now, I've lost 4 loved ones in a 4-year period. No, a long time. I ain't gonna, whatever. My granddad, 1993. Man, he was my hero. He's buried in Dalton, Georgia. My dad in 2019, he's my other hero. He's buried in Scottsboro. His body's buried in Scottsboro. My mom is a very good mom. I love her. I miss her so much. Her body is buried in Sylvania, Alabama. My sister, I miss her, even though I didn't get to see her a lot. I miss her. She's buried in Sylvania, Alabama. Her body is. That's all that grave's good for. I've been back and looked at each one of them. My granddad, I have twice. I finally went and looked at my dad's grave because he's not there. They are not there. We are not there. This thing here that we walk and talk and walk around or do whatever we do with it, all it is just like our cars out there. It's something we use to transport around in this world. Because this world is not a spirit world. It is a reality world. It's a physical world. And we do not have to fear death or the grave or hell, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took all of that and He defeated them and conquered them. What does He mean by that? And then passed it on to us. What does that mean? Somebody's fighting you and I come up and I grab them up and I mean I just wear them out and they take off running. And they was really going to hurt you or kill you or whatever. And then I say, okay, look, take this. And if you go across this again, you'll never lose again. Now, it's a little bit of a broad thing, but that's what Jesus did for us about death, hell, and the grave, and the power and dominion of sin in this world over a lost person's life. When you get born again, all that's gone. And the only reason we have any kind of inkling that it bothers us is because we let too much get in here. That's the reason, thank God, our pastor's teaching us and the Word teaches us to transform our minds, to line up with what God has done in our spirit, our heart, and make our soul, our mind, will, and emotions conform to what His Word says, not what we see. Because His Word says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And know it, I have walked by sight for far too long and it didn't give me anything except tore up. I don't like being tore up. I like being peaceful. I love peaceful. I love peaceful. I don't want strife. I don't want torment. I don't want nothing but peace. Travis, will you put up Psalms 55:22? I only got a couple of minutes, so yeah, I'm right. I'm not going to get finished with this, but praise God. Lord willing, and Jesus tarries, I get to come back again. There's another one. It says, cast your care burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. Now, I want you to, I like this translation because I have said many times, Lord, I give this to you. Then I walk 3 steps and said, daggum. It's still bothering me. Yeah. Releasing the weight of it. When you say, Lord, I give this to you, when the Lord sees your heart, whenever you say, I'm not going to let that bother me. Now, maybe you got to tell yourself a few times. I'm hard-headed. I have to tell myself a few times. April has to tell me a bunch of times. I'm hard-headed. But I'm working on it. I'm getting better. And He will sustain you. When God sees in your heart that you really don't want to do that, He's going to say, all right, come on, buddy. I'm going to help you. And when you feel that, you ain't going to let go of it, I'm telling you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, to be made to slip, fall, or fail. If we are moved by circumstances, we are moved by what we see, we're moved by this, moved by that, if we slip and fall, it's not the Lord causing it. And if anybody disagrees with me, it's not me saying it, the Lord said it right there. He says, He will never allow the consistently righteous. What does consistently mean? I don't know what the formal word is, but that means, you know, staying the same. Be the same. Be righteous. What does righteous mean? We're made righteous. Be righteous. Live righteous. It's simply to follow God's word. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, slip, fall, or fail. All I want to do is praise God. The last scripture I'm going to use, I didn't give Travis, but I know we've all heard it. I made the decision to use Joshua 24:15 quite a while back. That's for me and my house. Where the first part of it says, be it evil to you or not, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want the people I'm bringing up in this world and the people I'm responsible for to have all that they can have through the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything they'd like to say? Thank y'all for being here and putting up with me. I love y'all. We recess till 11.